You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, for new subscribers, we continue to offer half off. If you go to VRTrader.com, that's VR as in Victor Robert, volume reversals, actually what it stands for, VRTrader.com. And when you go to any of the newsletter order pages, the promo code is 2022 half off, 2022 half off, and you get 50% off. Again, this is only for new subscribers. And as a normal disclaimer, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. And frankly, when I watch television and you see all the analysts being interviewed or heard on the radio, most of them are money managers. So their bias, unfortunately, tends to be bullish no matter if there are negatives out there. So for me, they're sort of contrary opinion indicators. Though obviously we've been in an up market here, even when we were looking to go down, there was never really a negative word out there. So being reporting the news and doing the analysis and not managing money, I think puts me in a much better place in terms of my forecasts and my opinion.
As we speak, the Fed has just cut its trend-setting rate by 0.25%, but we're seeing mortgage rates are still going up. Does that make sense?
Sure it does, because they're really unconnected events.
Okay.
The bond market is the bond market, and that's not affected by what the Fed does. And the bond market actually has been declining in recent weeks ever since the half-point rate cut from we saw a few weeks ago. This confounded everybody. So the bond market is looking apparently for more inflation or other problems, and again, what the Fed does is sort of irrelevant anyway. In fact, the Fed chairman was questioned today in the interview, would he entertain a Trump resignation request, and he said no, he would not. He would not resign. I don't know if he can be forced out or not. In my opinion, you know, he should be, but I go much further than that. I think the Fed should be abolished altogether. I've been saying this for years. Of course, a lot of the problem comes from the Congress and the, you know, Senate and the House, where they just spend money like drunken sailors. But now we've got Elon Musk as a potential ally, as he's been with Trump and coming in and talking about changing some of our fiscal, our fiscal activities. So, that's a super big plus. But the 0.25 rate is just irrelevant. In fact, history actually says when the Fed starts to lower rates, that's usually a sign of a bear market or the recession coming, and perhaps their actions are in anticipation of something happening. Even though I'm very positive, and we can get the whole discussion about the Trump victory, which I thought was a good chance in coming because the market had been rallying, and the market is really like a crystal ball telling us the future, and the fact it was moving up was telling us they were anticipating that event. That was one of my indicators, plus two key stocks, which I mentioned last week, Vulcan Materials and Martin Marietta Materials. Material companies were rallying ahead of the 2016 Trump election, and they were one of my indicators at that time that he was going to get elected. So the market was really sort of the crystal ball here, but the Fed, what Congress does, I mean, it's just been a boondoggle. I mean, the Fed Chairman Powell, he screwed up for years and years, is keeping interest rates at 0% and jacking them up dramatically, and that endangered the financial statements of banks and caused all kinds of problems, and he should resign. And I don't even know any chairman in there could do a worse or better job, because the economists and the consultants are just idiots, in my opinion. Really don't know. Put an economist into the room, you're getting probably the worst forecast in the future. Economics is sort of a pseudo science in a way, in terms of economic forecasting and stock market forecasting, and that's been proven over the decades. And the Fed itself has proven its ineptitude. So hopefully now things will change, and I'm really an optimist because Trump is in there, and he's going to bring in people like Elon, and you know, whether that involves getting rid of the Fed or just changing the spending hysteria that's been going on in Congress for decades is to be seen. What the Fed's doing independently on his rate cuts or rate raises or whatever they're doing over there really is not relevant at all to either the market or to what's happening in our economy. Basic fundamental changes have to be, you know, imposed here, and we'll see if that comes in. So my ideal scenario is seeing spending reduced dramatically or reallocated to more productive levels, getting the illegal immigrants out of the country, changing a lot of the woke nonsense that we've been exposed to in recent years, maybe getting rid of the Fed altogether at some point or reducing their authority. A lot of good things could come out of the Trump victory. And, of course, he's talking about cutting income taxes and cutting taxes on tips and overtime and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, what he likes to do and what ultimately will be passed, you know, time will tell. So, you know, there's a lot to talk about here. You know, I mean, there's no guarantee the stock market will continue to go up and up and up either. I mean, we've seen some serious market setbacks even in previous Republican administrations. Ronald Reagan, for example, the crash in 1987 occurred when he was president. So we can't assume the market's only going to go up and there won't be other problems. And we've got geopolitical issues out there. Hopefully, you know, Trump could reverse the Ukraine situation, prevent hopefully China from doing what they're planning on doing, do something in the Mideast where we have a lot of hopeful expectations, and we don't know if that's going to unfold or not, but I have a good feeling that it might. And of course, you know, if they don't, maybe that'll affect our economy or the markets in a way that we can't really anticipate. So we don't want to be super optimistic in every sense, and that's why I do the charts and keep on top of the market. And looking at the market here, sure had a big surge, as you know. This was on Wednesday. Today, Thursday, as we're making this recording, most indexes into new highs, looking great on the charts, but also in some sense getting way overbought here. So what's in favor of the market is seasonality this time of year, you know, into November to December. Normally you get it up market, but, you know, you gotta, you know, watch the indicators because, you know, something unexpected could happen or some sell signal could come in and the market could do the unexpected. So, you know, what Trump does, what the economy does, what the market does are not necessarily all synonymous is what I'm saying. You got to put on your thinking cap. Our market's really overdone. The overvaluation of stocks now is really way out of line. Warren Buffett has been lightening up on big stocks like Apple and reducing his banking stock exposure, has one of his largest cash positions ever. So, you know, that's a warning sign. So at some point here, all the optimism may, you know, filter out, fetter away, and then we go into a more serious correction, even though fundamental changes may still be happening on the political side and the economic side. It doesn't mean the stock market will continue to react positively. So I'm an optimist about the future for the country now and for the economy with new leadership, but we also have to be pragmatic about the stock market and our investments that things do change. And you gotta watch, you know, normal relationships, such as overbought conditions and overzealousness in stocks and, you know, sort of plan for that volatility, which is ultimately going to happen.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's the story with gold right now?
Still love it, but as I mentioned last week or so, it's a little extended here. You know, part of the reason, I mentioned this before, that, you know, gold was strong was because of what happened in Ukraine and political uncertainty around the world, fear of what BRICS might do or not do. And, you know, things settled down a little bit, particularly with regard to geopolitical situations that are existent out there. You might see gold settle back a little bit. So still a bull, but we've been playing a little bit on the short side. This past week, we actually went short using inverse indexes in gold and silver and caught a little bit of a trade. But we did cover them and make a little profit there. We occasionally jump in with some hedges along the way. So I would continue to keep your eyes open about, you know, downside risks as they unfold, particularly as gold continues. If it continues to trade higher, you're going to see occasional setbacks. But fundamentally, and looking at the big breakout on the chart, and what's really happened to gold, I think you just have to keep a big picture positive scenario. And if you're a trader like me, you know, you start seeing overbought conditions and jump in there and do a little short selling and hedging along the way. But as far as I'm concerned, my bigger next target is that 3,700 level. I don't have a time associated with it. So it could be in 6 months or 6 years, and we'll just have to see if and when we get there, if we do generate some higher targets. So we're keeping our core positions, hedging a little bit along the way or trading along the way, and maintaining that overall bigger picture bullish stature.
On the geocosmic front, do we have anything interesting?
Well, there were some solar flares supposedly hitting, today. It says on the report from spaceweather.com, and no, I don't see any measurable reports other than that there was some risk that could unfold here. So, that's about it on that front. And then we had, of course, we have a lunar cycle coming up. I think the 17th of the month, another full moon there, and those are about the two most current reports there. You know, looking into December, you've got the winter solstice coming up, 21-22. Before that, into U.S. Thanksgiving, you have the event called the Turkey Shoot, which Yale Hirsch from the Stock Traders Almanac identified many decades ago. The day before, the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. tends to be a positive. And, of course, the Santa Claus rally effect in December, those are just general seasonal patterns. But it doesn't mean you can't get little shakeouts along the way. So bottom line, I think overall I remain, you know, more bullish on the economic political front than I am on the stock market, because we're way overbought here short term. But seasonality says we should trend higher and have a higher bias. So I'm trying to remain optimistic as long as I don't get some major sell signals on the charts.
What's going on in crypto?
Boy, that's a big story. Glad you reminded me. I should have covered that a moment ago. Well, we finally broke out above the 73,000 level in Bitcoin. It ran up another couple $3,000. I think up to about 76,000, and now it's settled back a little bit. But I think that breakout is a very significant event. I mean, you can argue it's a false breakout and a bull trap, but the technical breakout suggests that the next target is 88,000 or so in Bitcoin. So we're holding our Bitcoin ETF positions. I was very encouraged by that final ultimate breakout we were hoping for. You know, sometimes you get these breakouts and they're false and so forth, but I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.